We're going to start with Mark chapter 14, verses 17 to 31. And it's the disciples with Jesus, and they're celebrating the Jewish Passover together. So Darren's going to read that for us now.
Morning. We'll be reading from Mark chapter 14. If you've got a church Bible, it's on page 720, starting at verse 17. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same.
All right, we're going to read from verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Our next Bible reading is taken from Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 16, and can be found on page 721. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, the King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. And then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him, the written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Oh, listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Well, good morning. My name's Stephen. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity Church Modbury. One of my kids at the moment, they are quite like reality TV shows. So lately I've been seeing quite a lot more of Highway Patrol and Border Force and those kind of things than I normally would if I could only get control of the remote. And one of the things I've noticed with these shows is that you get a bit of a window into some of the worst of humanity. Like you see people trying to selfishly smuggle things into Australia that they know that they really shouldn't be doing. Or you see some dodgy drug deals going down. You see repeat offenders, drunk driving. A lot of TV shows, reality TV shows, it's like they love to show you the worst of humanity. I think that's how they keep us watching. I mean, if Married at First Sight was all about healthy, caring relationships, I don't imagine it'd be so popular. But if you were to seriously go looking for a window into the worst of humanity, where would you go? I reckon you could make a pretty good argument that the three readings we've had so far this morning give you a window into the worst of humanity. Tom Holland, not the actor, but the historian, the English historian who hosts a very popular podcast called The Rest Is History. In 2017, he was filming a documentary about ISIS, Islamic State. And so he travelled to northern Iraq to a village that had just been liberated from ISIS. And in that village, he actually got close to some modern-day crucifixions. Can you believe it? Modern-day crucifixions that ISIS had done. And it completely shook him that people could do this kind of thing to each other, to other people. There's a scene in it where it just completely shook him so much that he throws up on camera. But for the Romans, they crucified people not despite the fact that it was such a cruel way for someone to die. That was the exact reason they did it. And so I reckon you could make the case that at crucifixion, it shows you some of the worst of humanity. And the more you look at Jesus' crucifixion, the more you realize that there you really do see the worst of humanity. Today we're going to look a little bit closer at those three scenes that we've heard read so far this morning. Mark's Gospel, which they've all come from, it's an ancient account of what happened as witnessed by the people who saw it happening. And so as we read this eyewitness account, it's like we ourselves are with them, seeing what happened. And one of the things we see is what we've just been saying. At Jesus' cross, we see the worst of humanity. Like we see this in that first scene while they're eating dinner. In chapter 14, verse 18, we're told, while they're reclining at the table eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Now, it's kind of easy for us, I reckon, to miss the weight of this. For us, Judas is just doing what a Judas does, right? But this is one of Jesus' closest friends. He's just spent the last 3 years with Jesus. He's seen him do amazing things. He's seen his integrity and his compassion. But for some reason, Judas has kind of gotten over it all, even started to find Jesus irritating, too idealistic, too good, too uncompromising. But instead of taking his frustrations to Jesus, he doesn't go to Jesus. He doesn't even just quietly go away. He goes to Jesus' enemies and betrays Jesus and every single one of his friends and everything that they've been working for. And he does it for cash. It's pretty messed up. That's some of the worst of humanity on display right there. But there's more to see. Because next we see Peter, who unlike Judas, he genuinely wants friendship with Jesus more than anything. But in the end, he's betrayed by himself. In the next scene, Jesus tells his friends that they're all going to leave him. But Peter says in verse 31, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." But then, just hours later, when he's outed as a follower of Jesus, what does he do? He began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know this man that you're talking about." And here we see some of the worst of our humanity from a very different kind of angle. Even with the best intentions, we can still end up in some of the worst places. It kind of sucks, but it's true about us as humans, isn't it? For the 20th anniversary of the Boxing Day scenario tsunami, there was this three-part documentary on Disney Plus that I saw. And some of the most haunting stories for me were from people who described how they were trying to hold on to someone during that. And how they just couldn't, despite their best efforts, despite their best intentions, they just couldn't do it. They weren't strong enough. It's kind of like heartbreaking stuff. To me, it feels a bit like Peter. He wants to hold on. He wants to be a good and faithful friend, but despite his best intentions, he just isn't strong enough. I think this is one of the worst parts about being human. That even when we muster the strength to do something brave, like Peter following Jesus into the house of his enemies, even still, when it comes to it, in just one moment, we can throw it all away. We want to be strong enough, want to be good enough, faithful. But then courage can fail us, and we can fail those we promised we never would. I mean, think about it. How many people get married planning on ending things in a painful, cruel divorce? Everyone intends to be in love forever. And yet, despite our best intentions, where do so many of us end up? Or how many people have kids planning to have a strained and difficult relationship with them? Everyone intends to be the best parents ever. So how is it that despite our intentions, so often we find ourselves where we never wanted to go? It sucks that a realistic part of being human is that we actually can't guarantee anybody that we won't let them down when they need us most. For all of Peter's promises to Jesus, all he does in the end is show that even our best intentions are stalked by the worst of humanity. He leaves Jesus in the end to not just die alone. He leaves him to die abandoned. We see some of the worst of humanity as Judas betrays his friend for money. We see some of the worst of humanity as Peter's good intentions can't save him from failing a friend. And next we see some of the worst of humanity in the Roman soldiers. Look again at chapter 15. They put a purple robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. This has got to be some of the worst of humanity. Faced with a man hated by his own people, abandoned by his own friends, a man they know is actually innocent, but a man who claims to be from God, what do? They enjoy the cruelty of it. They laugh at the idea that God could be at work in this fool who is about to die on a cross. And here we see some of the worst of humanity from yet another angle. In the very act of God opening his arms to humans, here are people not only missing what he's doing, here are people who think what he's doing is an absolute joke. At the cross, we really do see the worst of humanity. But having said that, you really could also say that at the cross, we see the best of humanity. Like even back in that first scene when they're eating dinner, Jesus knew exactly what was coming. He knew he was about to face the worst of humanity. But instead of running away from it, we find him there calmly walking toward it. I recently heard someone speaking about leadership. And they said that's what we need real leaders to do. As humans, our natural reaction is when we're faced with danger is to fight, or to flee, or just to freeze. Where we see a problem, we so often come in unhelpfully aggressive and fighting. Or we run away from the problem, turn a blind eye, do everything we can to avoid dealing with it. Or we just freeze and we don't know what to do about it, have no idea. But the best leaders, they walk calmly towards trouble, not frozen, not looking for a fight, but not running from it either. And this is exactly what we see Jesus do. And he explains why in verse 24. He takes a glass of wine and he says to his friends, this is why. This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many. And this sounds strange to us in a different time, in a different culture. But what Jesus is saying is that he's walking towards the cross because this is the only way a covenant can be made. A covenant, it's like a strong binding relationship, kind of like a peace treaty or even a marriage or adoption papers. Jesus is saying he's about to make an even stronger binding relationship, and he's going to make it between God and people, and he's going to sign it in his blood. And it's not like this was easy for Jesus. He really wasn't exaggerating when he says in chapter 14, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He literally falls to the ground and begs God three times for another way. But the thing is, there is no other way. There's no other way a relationship between God and people is possible. Jesus says in verse 36, "Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me." But then he said, "Not what I will, but what you will." A young man, just 33 years old, calmly walks to his own horrible death because he sees that people lost to God is an even greater disaster than him dying on a cross. this is the very best of humanity. And then even in the face of his friends turning his back on them, he tells them he won't turn his back on them, even as they turn their back on him. He protects them, protects even those who've come to arrest him, telling his followers not to fight back. And when he's treated unfairly, he doesn't retaliate or even respond with hate. Even when mocked, crucified, he doesn't save himself. Not because he can't, but because if he did, he couldn't save others. At the cross of Jesus, we see the worst of humanity, but at his cross, we also see the best of humanity. And because of this, at Jesus' cross, we see the hope of humanity. When I look at the world these days, I sometimes find it hard to see a lot of hope. I mean, I see a lot of leaders that look nothing like Jesus. Leaders who are self-seeking. Leaders ready to lead the world to hate people different to them. Ready even to lead the world to war. Even in smaller places like workplaces, schools, even families. It's more common to find leaders who are quick to come in fighting or quick to run away protecting themselves or just frozen with no idea what to do. But Jesus doesn't just show a hopelessly divided world how we should be treating each other. Jesus doesn't just show us sacrifice and leadership, rising above hate and loving even enemies. I mean, we do see all those things at the cross. But there's far more to see. At Jesus' cross, we see the hope of humanity. And his followers initially missed it, of course. The Jewish leaders and the Romans missed it. Everyone initially missed it, except for Jesus. He knew the only way to save humanity was to not save himself. And so he didn't. Look at verse 37. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And look at what he achieved. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now again, the meaning of this can be lost on us in a different time and different culture. But God is saying by this loud and clear that no longer must he live curtained off from people. No longer must people be lost to him. A covenant has been made now, signed by him in blood. A covenant made possible by the worst of humanity being lifted from us and placed on Jesus on the cross. And ironically, the first person to see something of this is a Roman soldier who was standing there seeing how Jesus died, and he says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Now I'm guessing, like me, you can see that something needs to be done about the worst of humanity. I'm guessing, like me, you can see what's actually going to stop us forever cycling through selfish leaders and war and pain and suffering and death. May the 3rd is not looking hopeful. Can I tell you, it's not progress. Because open your phone and on the very screen that progress has given us, you can see just how much the worst of humanity is still alive and very much with us. And with us not despite progress, so often with us because of it. Because there's a flaw within us that we just can't progress beyond. A flaw we'll never progress beyond. A problem that if it's not dealt with, will forever plague humanity and will forever make each one of us an enemy of God. But what we see on Good Friday is that Jesus walks calmly toward our problem. Jesus owns the worst of humanity. He owns the worst aspects of you and me. And at the cross, Jesus lifts it from us and takes takes it onto himself so that the worst of humanity dies with him at the cross. Can you see why this is the hope of humanity? There is no other way that what lies within us can be dealt with. The only way is God himself, God the Son himself at the cross, overcoming the worst of humanity so that he can forgive it and give us a future where it will be completely forgotten. I don't know if you realize this, but if you look hard enough, you could see in our community, in us here right now, people who were once alcoholics, serious alcoholics. Look around and you could see people who were drug users, even drug dealers. Look around and you'll see people who've had abortions. People who failed in their marriages. People who've failed in their parenting. If you look around, you can see people who've displayed some of the worst of humanity. In fact, I would tell you, if you looked hard enough, you would see, I guarantee you, in every single one of us, people who have displayed the worst of humanity. But having said that, I don't know if you realize this, but you know what God sees? None of that. Not for those who trust in Jesus. Because of Jesus' cross, he sees only the best of humanity. If you've put your trust in Jesus, God only sees that his Son has taken that from us for good. He now only sees the future that lays ahead of us. A future where his anger just doesn't apply to you. A future where punishment is not for you if you trust in Jesus. It just can't be. He sees your future as one where sadness is not possible. Where there is no pain, no suffering, no war. A future where the worst of humanity is gone forever and the best of humanity is all that remains for us. A future that is coming. Is this what you see at the cross? Don't miss what Jesus has done for you at the cross. Don't miss the only hope of humanity. The only hope for each and every one of us. Let me pray for us. Father, on this day of all days, we stand astounded at you, that in Jesus, you would lift from us the very worst, every sin, every evil, every darkness, every failure, that you would take it, absorb it within yourself by Jesus dying in our place to lift us up. To one day when he returns only ever face the very best of humanity. Lord, we are so thankful. Help us to be eternally thankful. Help us not to miss the reality of our only hope that you have given us there at the cross. Lord, help us to take it now and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.